Well, don't be alarmed when you see the outline. You see that it's got five different topics there to talk on. I usually use three, but when I got to looking at this particular scripture this morning in Hebrews 11, 23 through 27, I thought, well, there's a point for each verse. And as I go through these this morning, you'll understand why there's five instead of just three. But I'm thankful for the song choices this morning. The Guiding Star that the choir just sang, that was a beautiful arrangement, beautiful song. Peppy, aren't you glad you're here this morning?
Amen.
Amen. See, you'd miss a blessing if you hadn't come, right? So, we understand, but you just, as you go home, you talk to people today, just tell them that you was truly blessed by being in the house of the Lord, the presence of the Lord especially, but here at Versailles Baptist Church. But as I was studying this passage of Scripture this week, and it's going to be on Moses, the faith of Moses, and all chapter Hebrews 11 is on those of faith, heroes of faith. And I hope this is helping you in your faith as we go through this series in chapter 11 of Hebrews. It helps me as I study and as I prepare and as I share the message. It encourages me and helps me even in my own faith as I look at the perspective the Bible gives on those who live by faith and they was obedient in all of their ways serving the Lord. So that should be a motivator for us as Christians to do the same thing. And we do need to be motivated, right? We need to be encouraged. We need to see the life of others who we read about, or even as we experience in this life, as we serve with one another, the faith that drives us in this life to be faithful to the Lord. So if you would join with me here, see, it is Moses' life of faith, and in your outline, I think it says the all faith. I didn't know really what to call this. I had a title this morning, so I just called it a bunch of different things because it does involve Moses, a man of faith. So as we look, first of all, let's go to verse 23 and read about Moses. And actually it goes down through verses 28 and 29, but I'm stopping at 27. Because it talks about his faith. He kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood so that he would, that he who destroyed the firstborn would not touch him. And then verse 29 says, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as though they were passing through dry land. And the Egyptians, when they tempted, were drowned. So those two I'm not covering today, but I want to go ahead and read those so you understand that it stopped at verse 29. But looking at verse 23, and I like the way it starts. It begins, by faith, just as the others did as well. But verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that he was a beautiful child. Have you ever seen a baby that wasn't beautiful? But this, if you look at this in the Hebrew language and see an interpretation of it, it means a godly person, someone that was going to be set apart. God sees much deeper than we do in the beauty when we see something that stands out. But it's not only in appearance only, but it's what's inside that is beautiful in God's sight. So that's what that means in the Hebrew, the beautiful child. And they were not afraid of the king's edict or his decree. Okay, verse 24. By faith, Moses, there go again. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. choosing rather to endure the ill treatment with people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. The reward. You know, all of us are looking towards that reward one of these days. Paul talks about that in Philippians about the reward, pressing towards the mark of the high calling of God in our lives. And then verse 27. Again, by faith, Moses left Egypt, not fearing the wrath or the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. Where does that take us? Back to verse 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of those things not seen. So that's what Moses and Abraham and Jacob and Isaac, Esau, all of those as a patriarchs, as we know and we have been studying them, they were looking for that unseen promise. And that's what we too are as well. So, looking at this passage this morning and giving you kind of a summary or introduction of where we're headed this morning, Moses, a man of faith, his whole life was marked by the awareness of the presence and the power of the unseen God and faithful obedience to his word. He was obedient in all those areas. See, Moses made a clear cut out of life, altering decisions to follow the way of the eternal God instead, according to what the scripture is saying here, of partaking in the passion pleasures of the world systems at that time, which was a lot of pressure upon Moses. I mean, the way he was brought up and the pressures that were forced upon him by Pharaoh and those nations that didn't believe in God. And yet God put him in a particular place to make a difference, place a special anointing in his life to free the children of Israel. Now, as we look at life is made up of decisions. Any of you make a decision this morning? You did, didn't you? We make decisions all the time. When you get up in the morning, you make a decision what you're going to do as far as getting ready, eating, and getting dressed and everything, going out the door to go to your jobs or place of respective places that you go. And the decisions that we make, what we're going to do in all areas of life. So life is made up of decisions, and we want to make sure that whatever decisions we're making, they are good decisions. They are right decisions, one that is pleasing to God, that are pleasing to God. So life is made up of decisions, and some are simple and unimportant, and some are complex and extremely important. And we know all about those. And many are made up almost unconsciously. They are. Others we think about carefully for a long, long time before we make that decision. And hopefully in the process, we're asking God, okay, what should I do? Lead me or your Holy Spirit to make the right choice or decision that I'm praying or lifting up to you. So that's very, very important. And so when we put off deciding, a decision is made up for us. But it is still our decision because we decide to put it off. But the course of the quality of our lives are determined much more by our decisions than our circumstances. So circumstances, you know, play into that, but we don't always rely upon circumstances. We make the right decision based on the conviction that we have that the Lord plants in our hearts. So now, Moses' decision was right because his faith was right. Now, ours can be the same. Our decisions can be right because if our heart's right with God, then we're going to do the right thing. We're not going to be misled or distracted by the world's system or the way they think and make decisions. It's based on what we believe and know in our heart that the Word of God teaches us, and as we are led by the Holy Spirit in making decisions, just like Moses did. He relied wholly upon God. Of course, he wasn't perfect in all his way. He made some mistakes, and he reaped the consequences for that. But overall, God was with him all the way through his life. And it is very apparent because he ended up here in Hebrews chapter 11. So we too can end up in the chapters of God's holy word one of these days that we stand before him and he says, enter in, you good and faithful servant. So, you know, when we leave this world, our work is finished, but our deeds carry on that we have accomplished in the name of the Lord. Now, let's move forward to look at Moses raised by parents of faith. His parents were very faithful. They were obedient to the Lord. They were godly parents. It's very evident. It's not only mentioned here in Hebrews chapter 11, but other places in the Bible as well. Now, in verse 23, the writer began to focus on the way faith confronts opposition, hostility, and a subject familiar to his readers, as the Old Testament readers and those at that time understood exactly what Moses' calling was and what his purpose was. Now, as the scripture says, Moses began life as a child of faith. The scripture says that he was beautiful. He had a beautiful complexion, but he had a beautiful heart that was geared towards God or pointed in God's direction. And the faith shown at Moses' birth and upbringing was his parents. And their faith was that God had a special plan for Moses' life. And that you can see that in Hebrews 23 or even in Acts chapter 7 verse 20 talks about that as well. Now, the reason the parents, as I read and examine and study this here in verse 23, the reason the parents hid Moses from the king's decree is said to be because he was beautiful, or I would say godly. They saw a potential of God's calling in his life, the anointing that even as a baby, they saw something that was something special about Moses and how God, they was godly, and I can just see them committing, dedicating to the Lord. Keep him safe. We commit him, his life to you. Use him in any way you see fit, God. And God took that and he blessed their lives and Moses as well. So this means more than he was just a beautiful or lovely baby, but there was something about Moses which spoke to the parents that he had a special touch from God. And then when I say that special touch, it's that anointing that God places within a person's life, set apart for a special ministry or a function to use to honor God's glory and to affect other people and to lead people in the paths of righteousness. Now, there's something about Moses' life. And even in Acts chapter 20, I mentioned a while ago, 7:20, Stephen says Moses was beautiful to God, or he was beautiful with respect to God. Now, that's Acts 7:20. So, as parents, as parents, your parents and your parents before you, you trusted God with your children. When I was a baby, my parents trusted me with God. They dedicated me, and many of you were probably dedicated when you were children, to use for God's service. I remember my mother telling me many times when I entered the pastorate and so forth, she said, "I didn't mean for you to move so far away from us." And I said, "Well, you dedicated me, so, you know, you left me in the hands of the Lord, and wherever God took me, I promised God, I said, wherever you lead me or wherever you want me to go, I'll go. You know, I'm just not going to stay in McMinnville, Tennessee. I mean, if you want me to stay there, I will." And I know many pastors do. They stay right in their own hometown. But I wanted to be faithful to God, just like Moses, just like you do, to go wherever he sends you. We are to forsake all of those things in our life for the glory of God. And that's what Moses did, and that's what we need to do as well. And faith allows us to entrust even our children to God and our lives as well. Okay, moving on. I'll not dwell too long on just A, but I want to move on to part B, rejects the world's prestige. Now here we see in verse 24, the way of faith chooses to mature by identifying with God's people. So according to what I think, according to verse 24, when Moses had grown up, he was ready to make right decisions. And of course, you know, he kind of come up with some excuses. That I'm not adequate. I stutter and all of these things. But God always had an answer for Moses. You know, he didn't let us off light. When he called me, I made all kind of excuses, but he didn't let me off the hook. I didn't think I was adequate or ready to take on such a task in my own life, but he prepared me in advance and prepared ways for me to prepare through Bible college and seminary and the experience of ministry itself. So in Acts chapter 22, says Moses was educated in all learning of Egypt and was a man of power in words and deed. See, do you get that? He was a man of power. That wasn't his own power. That was a power that was entrusted in him through the Spirit of God that gave him that ability to speak in words and wisdom and of deeds to carry out those actions. And he did that miraculously by parting the Red Sea. Of course, that was God who did it, but he was the instrument in which God used and all the other things that Moses did in his life. So, faith in God was the key that directed Moses' life. Faith is the key that would direct your life and my life. If we only will connect with that power. It's like connecting with your lights to electricity. When they're connected, you have light, right? If they're not connected, you don't have. And we don't have power without the power of God being connected to him. So Moses defined himself by verse 24 to be called the sons of Pharaoh's daughter. He refused that because he knew that his life meant much more than being connected with Egyptians' beliefs and way. Even though the Pharaoh's daughter that raised him saw something special in Moses, the overall picture, Moses did not want to identify with the Egyptians' ways. So as Christians, we must also learn to say no to wrong things. And how do we know if they're wrong? Well, you have that conviction. You have that discernment. You know, I've read God's Word, and then God's Word points out those things. Now, I do want to clarify some things The Bible lists many things that are neither right or wrong in themselves. Now, discernment, now I want to pitch this in. Discernment must come through prayer, trusting God's Spirit, and applying biblical principles. So I've heard so many people say, I've read the Bible, Bibles don't say that's wrong. And I said, well, you know, discernment, if you're a Christian, you're discernment, you pray, you read God's Word, the Bible will tell you if it's right or wrong, and the Holy Spirit will tell you in your heart if it's right or wrong, and so forth. So we make the decision based on that. That's what Moses did, based on his knowledge of God and working in his life. And the purpose God had called him. Now, 3, Moses rejects the world's pleasures in verse 25. As I looked at verse 25, I thought it reveals that way faith chooses, okay? That way that faith chooses between the attractive but temporary pleasures of sin and the way of Christ. So, look at the choice that Moses made. Let's look at the choice he made. Moses had to choose either Israelites or the Egyptians. He had to choose a side of downtrodden Israelites and accepted all the contempt and the hardships over the contemporary advantages of Egypt. Egypt provided a lot of things. They had it. But it's all worldly. So that's not a good choice. He gave up a palace for a shepherd's tent. He gave up riches for poverty. He gave up position and fame for isolation and humility. That's what Moses did. He chose God's way. God's way is always the best way. It might not be all the fame and the glory and the thing that we see that the world offers, but the downside of that is destruction at the end. God promises eternal to life with him. Now, Moses had an opportunity not simply to be a supporter and promoter of the world system, but he was a leader of God's way, not a leader of the world's way. Now, he had a choice between a people suffering in slavery and the best that this world had to offer. He didn't choose that. He chose to be faithful to God. We choose to be faithful to God in our ways, in everything. Even though we may not understand it at the time, at the moment we make a decision, but in the long run we will find out the benefits and results are to glorify God in our actions and everything that we do. Now, God asked us also to choose either the world or Him. In Revelation chapter 3, talking about the Laodicean church, you know, we're not to be straddling the fence. God either wants us hot or he wants us cold, on fire for him. And we have to choose what we're going to be. Now, we are to refuse the world and become obedient to God and refuse the pleasures of this world. So in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke, both quote what Jesus said about manna in this phrase, or rendered in the English language, when he said, you cannot serve both God and manna. That means the world or the pleasures of the world. And it involves a lot of things. But Jesus made that clear, especially in Luke chapter 16, verse 13. Okay, moving on. Moses rejects the world's plenty. Verse 26. The basis for Moses' choice are revealed right here in verse 26. See, God's reward is always greater than what the world's is. And the world paints a beautiful picture, right? But they don't always show you the circumstances on the backside of the board. You see boards all with fancy pictures with all kind of attractive worldly things. And on the backside, it doesn't see what the results are going to be. But God always paints the picture of what our life will be with Him. See, God, according to Philippians 4:19, says God will supply all your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Many of you have memorized this verse, right? And many times I've seen it on our shirts. I've even got a shirt with this scripture on it. Now, that is the attitude, or it should be the attitude of every Christian about Christ, being Christ-centered. You know, we should be willing to forsake the hazard, all that we have for the sake of God's will, knowing with Moses and with Paul that we think along that line, according to Corinthians 4:17, Romans 8:18, momentary light affliction is producing in us eternal weight of glory far beyond our comparison. That's another good scripture. You know, scripture gives us a glimpse of all the good things in our life. If we were reading and look at scriptures and know that God provides everything that we need for physically, spiritually, emotional, if we just trust Him with our life. And that's what Moses did. And, you know, it's all clear and plain. You know, Moses, in writing the first five books of the Old Testament called the Law, the Torah, he explains all of the things that he experienced along with the Israelites and how God was in control of that all the way through. And even saw him up to glory. You know, we don't know what happened to Moses, but Moses was taken by God, just like Enoch. He was not, because God took him. And of course, we don't know where Moses was buried or if God just took him on up. But there's no trace of where Moses ended up here on this earth. He's in heaven with the Lord today. Okay, the last one, all right? Rejects the world's pleasure, verse 27. See, Moses demonstrates faith because he was looking ahead to his reward, and he was persevering because he saw him who is invisible. As I quoted verse 1 earlier, that's what he was looking for. See, Moses' source was his faith in God. And the outstanding characteristic of Moses' life was intimacy, or his fellowship with God. Because the secret of Moses' faith was his close walk with God. Just like the Bible says, Enoch walked with God. Noah walked with God. Abraham walked with God. Moses walked with God. And if we walk with God, then the results and the evidence of our rewards will be there for us as well, just like that. It just takes perseverance. It's so easy to say yes, right? Isn't it easy to say yes? It's more difficult to say no, right? Just like it is, it's harder to frown than it is to smile. You think about it. It is hard. You don't always want to be a yes person, all right? Sometimes you got to stand on the promises, right? Standing on the promises. And stand up for Jesus. Sometimes we have to say no to the things we know are not good and right decisions in our life. So remember that. It's easier to say yes than it is to no. No builds your character. You think about it. Because, and you can lose your identity as a person if you go around saying yes to everything in this world. But if you are willing to stand up and say no that shows you have character. That shows that you're basing your decisions upon your knowledge of what God has convicted you in your heart. And if it's wrong, you say no. That builds character, and that builds spiritual character in your life. See, God rewards those who seek Him daily with an intimacy or that special personal relationship with Him. And in closing, faith is a force sustaining God's people in times of opposition and affliction. And it's enabling them to overcome fear and temptations and to fulfill His purposes for them, for you, just like it did Moses. And Moses chose the imperishable, saw the invisible, and did the impossible. How was he able to do the impossible? Did he do it on his own? Of course not. Through the power of God that was invested in his life from the very beginning, when he was a child till he was grown, he was faithful, obedient all the way through his life. That's why God used him so mightily. You know what? As I think and I was reading, when I get to reading about his life and so forth, and Genesis and Deuteronomy and those, and Moses, he had to deal with a lot of opposition, complaining all the time. How many of us could put up with that? Millions of people complaining and so forth. And when God told Moses to do what? Speak to the rock so water would come forth. He was so angry that he didn't speak to it. He did what? He smote it with his rod. And of course, water came forth. But because of that, Moses did not get to go in to Canaan, to the promised land. That one thing in his life. But you know, he's with the Lord today. But it was a test in his life. But I guess Moses considered himself, he had run out of patience. And that's what you've heard me say. I never pray for patience, because God will wear you out with him. He wore Moses out with him, with patience and so forth. And oftentimes he would say, "Your people, God." And God said, "No, they're not my people, they're your people." And it makes you want to kind of chuckle when you read and study how God and Moses communicated with one another. God was so patient with Moses. And Moses was so patient to the point of that one era in his life. But God still maintained, blessed him. So Moses chose the imperishable, saw the invisible, did the impossible. See, Moses' courage and endurance came as the reward of his faith. May ours do the same. Let's pray. Our Father God, thank you for this message this morning and these special called anointed men like Moses, who endured, kept faithful, and received their reward. It takes perseverance. It takes endurance, motivation to persevere in a world that is pressurized of wanting people to go and do things against your principles. And we thank you for the examples that you have placed in your word, your Bible, for us to read and understand. And may we also always act and make decisions upon discernment and convictions from your Holy Spirit. And we will come out on top as well, just like all of these that we've already studied about and those coming up in weeks to come. Lord, thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who gave his life on Calvary that we might have eternal life. He paid the price. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And thank you for the sacrifice that he paid for us. We don't sacrifice anything on this earth. Christ did it all. And may we remember and be thankful for that and share that with everyone we see. Thank you again for this message on faith, the faith of Moses, one of the heroes of faith. May we too be counted a part of that. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.